I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. I like to move it, move it. You like to move
it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is I Like the Movie Movie, and my name is Steven Richards.
And my name is Dan Scully, and I'm going to pretend that you didn't go I Like the Movie Movie and dropped a hidden L in there.
I kind of fumbled a little bit, but
that's okay. Know, it's
the energy was there, man.
It's a rainy Wednesday.
Yeah,
it's the Skype room is moving slow. We're all moving slow.
I'm on my computer and it's upsetting me. I don't know why. Hang on. Okay, there we go. Changed it.
But I will say this. I'm looking at you right now, and I know you've been cultivating a bit of a goat, a little goatee mustache combo. And I got to say, I dig it. Looks good. Your hair length on the top of the head suits that. It's a whole facial ensemble thing you got going on, and I dig it. I know
I'm going for the Obi-Wan.
Nice.
I'm going for the Obi-Wan hermit look.
Nice.
But I'm in the awkward beard phase of it's very patchy on the sides.
Yeah.
And it's really mostly just goatee. I also hate it. It's uncomfortable and it's itchy. And food gets caught in it. I don't know how people with beards do it.
My first suggestion is if you don't like the patchiness on the sides, just lose it. Because I barely see it. I just say keep the goat. Let your chin show its prominence on its own. Because I'm contemplating shaving my own beard right now. And not because I want it gone, but because I've been like nibbling on my mustache and now my lips are chapped. And, you know, I feel like I get, so maybe I'll just give it a little trim tonight. I don't know. We'll see.
No, I'm going to keep
it grows pretty fast.
I'm going to see how long it takes to grow a full beard. This is a month out.
Okay. Not bad.
So it's not great.
I don't think it's, you sound so disappointed with it. I think you look great.
I think for a month
actually, now that you turned a little bit,
progress.
The edge, the way that it, like traces your jawline.
Yeah.
That's like clutch. Now you're a guy like me. I have a gigantic head and I trim my beard to make sure that it gives me this artificial jawline that I don't actually have.
It's so good.
It's incredible. They say that men don't have like, you know, women have makeup. We have facial hair. I think that is our version of makeup because like when I want to hide my blemishes, I grow my beard real fast and then no one notices. They're like, ooh, you're so, you know, you look so, astute. And it's like, no, I'm just filthy and lazy, but I covered my face naturally.
Well, so the reason that I'm even doing this is because, I started seeing someone and she said I would look good with a mustache. Now I've dated girls in the past that they're like, oh, you look good with facial hair. And I say, okay, I'll prove to you that I don't. And then so I start growing a beard. It comes in patchy. It comes in terrible. And they're like, yeah, you're right. It doesn't look good. Shave it. However, this time it's not working. She likes it just as you complimented me. She said the same thing.
I think it looks good,
and
man.
I got to be honest with you. This is the best it has ever come in.
Yeah.
Like said, the jawline is working, the artificial jawline.
The jawline's working. I'm actually – I think the chin is where it's at because
– yeah.
Your chin comes down. This is great movie talk, by the way. Your chin comes down and has like a dip before your jawline, and that looks good, and it's pronounced with the beard.
Yeah.
So, good work.
So let's talk about some movies.
Yeah, so what we decided to do, Steven's been away on a little vacation. Yeah. I've been at work, working like a maniac, still going through transitional shit. Oscars are literally the day that this episode drops. So rather than requiring that our audience watch a movie in order to keep up with the show like we typically do, we're going to give everybody a break and we're going to do something that we used to do when Movie Movie had a YouTube before Garrett passed from this world. May his soul rest in peace. We used to do a... I'm kidding. He's not dead. It's just a fun bit. He's doing okay. We used to just hang out on Friday and just go over some of the stuff that we've been watching lately. So we're going to take a couple minutes here and just have a nice low key, chat about some of the movies that we've been watching lately. Maybe you'll get some recommendations out of it. Maybe you won't, but, I think that'll be a nice way to just have a relaxed episode.
Well, here's, I want to say two things. One, let's call it what it is. Because I was on vacation, I haven't had time to see Dune 2 yet. And that's why we're not talking about Dune 2. But next episode, 100% will be Dune 2. So get to the theaters. I have tickets for next Wednesday, and I'm very, very excited.
I'm going to try and squeeze in another viewing if I can, because I'm a pretty big fan of Dune 2. And I can't wait, because once you see Dune 2 and we do an episode about Dune 2, I can then force you to sit down with me.
Yeah.
And watch David Lynch's Dune. And mm-hmm. we'll record a very special episode where we can watch that movie and blow your minds. Maybe we'll do an in-person episode, because I'm very curious to see how David Lynch's Dune pops up in your brain. Already not, you don't have enough information to say whether you're a fan or not of David Lynch, but you were definitely a no on one of his more accessible movies. And so Lynch's Dune, which is a property that you do like with a filmmaker that you're shaky relationship with the filmmaker. I'm very curious to see how it registers with you, because it's a legendary failure and a legendary box office. Even the television cut Lynch pulled his name off of. It's technically an Alan Smithy film. So I'm very curious to see how you feel about it, because it's truly a piece of cinema. I don't know how else to put it.
The only caveat I have is that I want to watch it on the original VHS. How many VHSs was it?
I'm sure it was probably two, at least two, because that movie pushes 3 hours. Especially if we watch the director's cut, which is the one that I have. But we can watch in glorious 4K.
Because I'll be honest with you, the only reason I didn't see that version of Dune is because when I was a kid, me and my friends used to go to the video store and rent a movie every weekend and then sleep over at someone's house and watch it. And every time I would say, oh, look at this. This looks pretty cool. It's called Dune. They would be like, that looks like shit. You're an idiot. We're renting like Nightmare on Elm Street for the 15th time or something like that.
That was
so I tried to watch it. What?
I didn't see Dune until I was an adult. For that same reason, I would always be like, this kind of looks like Star Wars. I love Star Wars. And my friends would be like, I hear it's long and boring. I'm like, you're long and boring! And then, you know. So yeah, I had the same story. Yeah. But finally catching up with
Dune. Well, because they were right. It does look long and boring, and I was easily talked off of it because it, you know. It looked like a Star Wars knockoff.
Yeah. I think the way that it was advertised too makes it look like it's a cheap Star Wars, even though like Star Wars is actually the thing that owes a debt to Dune. And actually, wait, don't move. The way that your computer screen is reflecting off of your glasses right in this frame, your eyes are glowing blue as if you're a Fremen warrior who has been inhaling the spice melange for a long enough time to give your eyes that blue hue. Very nice. Are you the Lisan Al Ghaib?
I'm Duncan Idaho.
No, you don't want to be Duncan Idaho.
Yeah,
he didn't make
Duncan
it out of
part
one. Idaho. Oh, I remember. Was it Revenge of? I think it was Attack of the Clones, where Yoda, lightsaber fought somebody.
Yeah.
It was doing lots of flips and stuff. And I remember after that movie was out for a little bit, there was like the second wave of trailers to get people to come back to the movie theater. You know, those ones like the more spoilery trailers.
Yeah.
They would show Yoda doing that. And the thing that they kept, Huda Man, Yoda Man. And they tried to sell us on that as a cool thing. And so all I can think of is I want a Dune trailer that's just like, Huda Ho? Idaho, and that it's Duncan Idaho doing his knife stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so I don't think that would work.
Planes.
As someone who's in
it, probably would not work.
I don't think that's a good idea.
Would you have greenlit Huda Man, Yoda Man?
100%. Yes. In fact, it was. Yeah.
I mean, the prequels had weird advertising, like. I remember they had every commercial they tried to, like, there was this character, I think it was for Pepsi, it was some alien, and he would drive a pod racer around, and he kept referring to cool things as being so wizard, that's so wizard. And there was like a weird push for out of the prequel trilogy for wizard to become like cowabunga level, and it just didn't catch on. And then ironically, the one weird phrase that caught on from the prequels was just Odidi.
Yeah.
People knew that one. Wizard yeah. did not catch on, but no. A fucking Jawa falling off a CGI brontosaurus or whatever and going, Utidi! Like, everybody knows that.
Or also, Roger, Roger.
Roger, Roger, yeah. Yeah, they fucked up the advertising in a lot of ways. Like, even Phantom Menace, imagine if we didn't see in the trailer Darth Maul's lightsaber being double-ended.
I still would have seen it.
I still would have seen it, but, like, that moment in the theater when he lights the one side and you're like, it's on, and then the other side lights, you're like, he's fucking bo staff. This is insane. I feel like that would have been so cool, and they just didn't think about that in the advertising. Now, granted, well, they made billions of dollars, so it's fine.
That's my problem with the Mission Impossible franchise right now that we've talked about that, where it's like you're getting the best part of the movie as part of the marketing. And it's very strange time to live in where, you know, if that were to be the, like, if that were to be the I'm your father moment, they're like, hey, you should go see this movie because, you know, or like when it's advertised, like, oh, there's a big twist. I wonder what it's going to be.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, like a Shyamalan film. It's like when the art kind of becomes a gimmick like that, and marketing exploits it, it kind of loses its flair a little bit.
Yeah,
well, it turns into a gimmick. From something that could be like a really awesome moment, it turns into a gimmick when marketing comes in.
And even now, like, on the other end of it, you'll see movies where like a certain line in a movie won't make sense. And you're like, I know that they shot that line for the trailer.
Yeah.
Because in the context of the trailer. And so like even in that, like going backwards, the stupid trailer can make the movie worse because they needed to put a line in just to suit the trailer.
And sometimes like the trailer, like think about the Avengers, the trailer just has bullshit in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or like, it just, or like lines that are in the trailer that aren't even in the movie.
Yeah.
You know, like it's just a whole marketing in and of itself kind of ruining the experience.
That's one of the jokes about Madam Web is there's the line in the Madam Web
trailer. Trailer too. That's another trend I hate.
Dude, I hate the little thing where it's like it shows the teaser telling you the trailer that you're about to watch. You're like, I clicked it. I'm on board.
Yeah.
I know what I'm about to watch.
If I'm here, I chose to be here.
I have a theory as to why that is, though.
TikTok.
I think that those exist because of television and TikTok, which is basically the trailer has to announce itself so that you don't immediately scroll past it. Or if you're watching at home, so that you have a chance to look up from your fucking TikTok to see what's on TV. It's so bizarre. How bizarre? How bizarre.
How bizarre. I like to think that maybe it's for people who don't want to see anything.
It works that way, too.
Because I'm like, oh, shit, no, I don't want to look at it. And I hate when, like, so even in the most recent one I can think of is the Marvels flaunted the Valkyrie cameo, which wasn't even a very good cameo, to be honest, as like a reason to go see the movie. Now, I loved the Marvels. It was a great movie. It was a great movie to stream.
I actually caught up with that rather recently as well. And it's not like high level MCU stuff, but it was,
it's good.
It was certainly like, it was better than a lot of the ones that I made it out to the theater to see recently.
Iman Vellani, put her in charge of the MCU.
Dude, 100% agreement.
MCU.
If the MCU just said, fuck the entire story, we are just telling stories about, Miss Marvel and her family.
Yeah.
This is the Miss Marvel and her family cinematic universe. Her enthusiasm and energy alone could carry that for multiple movies.
So I guess we're starting because I forgot that I recently watched the Marvels. So we'll start with the Marvels.
We can start with the Marvels.
I thought it was really fun. I thought the action was really great. It was really clever stuff. It suffered from the like classic case of not really caring about the villain.
Mm-hmm.
Too much, or really understanding what the Skrull storyline and where it stands is at the moment. But,
I think it required more shows to know about. Like, I don't remember, like, I only saw Captain Marvel once, so I don't remember much about what happened in that movie. I don't really have a connection to, what's her name? Rambo?
Oh, Monica Rambeau.
Monica Rambeau. I don't have a connection with her, even though I like that actress. I forget who she is. Yeah, and like, WandaVision was, I liked WandaVision quite a bit, but like, it's just so much now. I need to like remember people's birthdays and stuff. I can't keep up with all of the, that said, even though I couldn't follow the scroll shit and I didn't really care, I think that also just helped because I watched the movie with a detachment from the larger story because it was like, I know none of this matters now.
Yeah, and
it made it easy to watch.
The parts that did attach to the larger story were also interesting.
I mean, as much as I could understand them, yes, but like, yeah. I'm talking about the
Beast post-credit scene.
Dude, I knew that was coming because I had just read the spoilers on it.
Yeah.
I was so pissed that it wasn't Kelsey Grammer in the makeup. It was a fully CGI Beast with Kelsey Grammer's voice, and it looked terrible.
It looked bad.
Terrible. And which is weird because compared to a lot of recent Marvel output, the Marvels actually looked pretty good in a lot of spots.
They did a lot more practical stuff. And also anything that has been filmed looks better than Quantumania.
Yeah. Oh
my God. Which was so bad.
Gobbledygook. Just gobbledygook. Complete nonsense. But I did like it. I wish that they went a little harder with the planet that sings all of their, like, if they went full on musical and had a big production, I would have been howling. But instead it was just like a half cooked joke that like was funny enough.
I agree.
But then after a while it was like, all right, if we're not going to do this all the way, we got to get off this planet, move it along.
Yeah.
That said, it was like, it was very funny. It definitely was funny. That's a good concept. Yeah.
And the costumes that they get from them, I loved the design of all of the costumes in that one. And also, so I need to go back and watch Ms. Marvel because, A, I love the character so much that I want to go back and see, like, what her origin is.
You haven't seen Ms. Marvel?
No.
Oh, it's good. I had a really good time with that one.
Yeah, I need to watch that after I finish Andor. So I'm basically living out your life 2 years ago.
When I started going to the gym, I needed shit to watch. Does that mean in 2 years I will finally finish Seinfeld and you'll be starting it?
I don't think I'll watch Seinfeld again. Although I have been watching the latest season of Curb.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Wings.
No.
I have not watched Curb yet. I can't wait. I love Curb Your Enthusiasm.
So, I don't think this is a spoiler because
I don't think it's a show that's spoilable.
So, wait,
I'm not there for the plot. I'm there for the bit.
Do you know how Seinfeld ends? Do you know the controversy about how Seinfeld ends?
I know that they all end up in jail, and I know that it wasn't the most beloved finale, and I know from previous seasons of Curb, like when they did the sort of Seinfeld reunion, that Larry David steadfastly defends the end of Seinfeld. I love that. And honestly, like, as I watch Seinfeld, I feel like at this point, like, it makes sense that they will end up in jail. I don't know the terms of how they end up in jail, but there's a lot of points where they do something like, I'm in the middle of season four of Seinfeld, which is like similar to, it's similar to Always Sunny, where there's a point in the show where you go, oh, okay, we're not actually in the real world anymore.
Yeah.
You know, they're leaning into how crazy they can get. And because of that, I'm like, yeah, they're going to end up in jail. They're doing crimes. The show doesn't see this as crimes yet, but what they're doing is crimes.
So, yeah, everyone kind of shit on the ending. Larry David Sancho defended it so much so that I'm calling it right now. Curb Your Enthusiasm is going to end the exact same way as a fuck you to everyone.
I was thinking, somebody brought this up before, and I think that you are correct. I think you're 100% correct.
Because, dude, I downloaded all four seasons of this, or all four episodes of this season that have been released so far, and I watched it on the plane home.
And maybe I'll knock those out just so that I'm like live with the finale. Cause like Curb, I want to go back and watch all of, because there's like full seasons that I've missed. Curb's just a show that's always been around, but I've never actually watched it like all the way. You know what I'm saying?
Like, each season is like kind of like a pocket.
So like I didn't watch the producer's season, but I did watch the one where he dies at the end and they send him back because he's too annoying in heaven. you know, it's just like, I know my Curb, but I've never actually like sat down like I'm doing with Seinfeld. So I will do that, but I think I'll just hop on this season.
Yeah, also, there's in honor that of happens,
the late great Richard Lewis.
Something that happened. Yeah, dude. The last episode he was.
Oh, the clip's been going around.
Featured, yeah.
I'm going to leave you some money. I don't need your money. I'm not going to accept it.
Yeah.
That's such a funny thing.
Shit, what was I going to say? Fuck.
About the ending and him going to jail.
Oh, yeah. So but there's something that happens in the first episode where I was like, immediately, like, he's going to end it the exact same fucking way. I know it. I guarantee it.
And why wouldn't he?
He's so fuck. Funny. And this season especially, I was laughing. I was like trying to like act normal on the plane. I was laughing so hard.
Nice.
Which that's the mark of a good show.
There are a few shows that can do that. And like Sunny still gets me there. Curb gets me there. Check It Out with Dr. Steve Brule gets me there. But like very little else does. Although I have been thinking that I should, because I've literally never seen a single episode of 30 Rock. I know you're a fan.
Love 30
and,
Rock.
I'll use this to segue. Last night I was watching The Departed, and Alec Baldwin is so funny in that movie. Like, he's so funny. And it's not him necessarily doing an Alec Baldwin bit. Like, the character he plays in The Departed feels like a man who's been a cop for 40 years or whatever. Yeah. And he's still a smoker, and he's just like, you know, he's a guy where, you know, the action is the juice. He's that guy. And, but the way he plays it is so fucking funny. And I was like, you know, I should watch 30 Rock because every bit I've seen from 30 Rock with him in it, it's gold. Yeah. And he's a complicated figure, and I love being entertained by complicated figures. I don't know if you've ever seen Miami Blue. Blue is a young Alec Baldwin playing a truly insane criminal character, but it's like kind of like a light, funny Miami Adventure, but he's like unhinged and crazy criminal in it, and he's so fucking funny. It's Miami Blue or Miami Heat, but anyway,
Miami Heat's that up the in a basketball second. Team.
Miami Heat's the bet. See, that's not the thing that I'm apt to know, but Miami Blue is the thing. It's Miami Blues, 1990. Yeah, he's an ex-con that moves to Miami, and he just immediately gets back into being a criminal. It's so good, and you would love it.
Jason Lee.
But I was watching The Departed last night. I know you're a big fan of The Departed.
Big fan.
Big fan of The Departed. Wouldn't you rather wipe my ass for me?
Wouldn't you rather wipe my ass for me?
I sent you that clip last night because I was howling when he delivered it.
Yeah.
But that's
best line.
So The Departed is the one Scorsese picture that won Best Picture. And that was in 2006. So Scorsese was probably pushing 70. Might have been in his 70s. I don't really know the numbers. It was 2006. And it won Best Picture, but the general consensus is like, that was a good movie, but it's not Marty's best. But, you know, they wanted to get a Best Picture in case he doesn't pump out any more movies.
If he dies.
The irony being that he has pumped out consistently great movies at a fucking clip since then. But I disagree with the notion that this is not one of Scorsese's better pictures. I think it's one of his best. The Departed is one of the most it's similar to Goodfellas in that it, like, defies you to look away. It's so entertaining, and it's just so much life and so lively. And this is Thelma Schoonmaker is Scorsese's longtime editor, and she deserves a lot of credit for what she brings to a Scorsese movie. She even famously said, someone asked her, like, oh, what's it like editing these violent movies? And she said, oh, Marty doesn't make violent movies. I make them violent. And, like, it's such a badass line.
Yeah.
And, but in a way, she does. And there's so many moments in The Departed that, having only seen it maybe once or twice many, many years ago, that kind of blew my mind, because there were so many brilliant shots that did kinetic things in terms of like a pop zoom or the cameras dancing around someone like that. But the editing and the way that those individual camera moves would either be spliced or arranged and ordered had such an energy to it that it's like just a brilliant example of both Schoonmaker and Scorsese kind of working together to make something sing. The scene where it looks like DiCaprio is about to catch up with Matt Damon and Matt Damon stabs the wrong guy. That whole scene has some of the craziest camera work and some of the most bizarre edits, but it all works together into this like almost like old school noir-y thing, but with the gritty crime, you know, contemporary edge of Scorsese, and then, you know, with the Boston energy in it. But I wound that scene back like four times just because the editing is so fast and so kinetic, but not in that awful way that I hate where it's overload.
Yeah.
It absolutely just, it's an orchestra that the two of them are playing together as both filmmaker and editor. And for that communication to happen at the shooting level, I don't know if she comes in as to how I'm going to edit it or if they're just so attuned to one another by, you know, this point that was, what, 30, 40 years into their respective careers that they just know how to play together the way, like, a band can jam, you know. And it really blew my mind rewatching the Departed again. And there's a 0% chance that I'm ever going to pronounce the R in The Departed ever again because I can only say it that way.
Yeah, there's a lot of really good things about that movie, especially and like another good scene is the cell phone scene when they're like on the phone with each other. And like it's very quiet and they're like trying to suss each other out. That scene, the editing really stands out in that scene as well for me, especially from the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, that's special.
Yeah.
It's like a really, really well done vignette.
There's a sequence at the beginning where the camera's moving sideways as Leo DiCaprio's in jail, and it's cutting in and out on, like, not title cards, but blackness, but the energy of the camera keeps moving, and it introduces him in jail and Sullivan, Matt Damon, in his office. And the way that it's cut together is just like, you know, it's the brilliant of like, oh, these are both men who are prisoners to their job, but it's just beautifully done. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a really great different take on like the montage way of storytelling.
Yeah.
And it also has that's like the editing of the like Sir Yes Sirs in the opening where they're doing like the training montage also against you know, William doing like drug runs and shit like that. That was really cool. That was really well done.
Yeah. Yeah. I loved it. And it still breaks my heart every time that Leo catches that bullet. And it breaks my heart even more when Anthony Anderson catches that bullet. But nothing breaks my heart the way that it breaks my heart when Martin Sheen gets heaved off the top of a building.
I need information. What came off that roof?
Yeah. Man, and Sheen is great in it. Vera Farmiga is great in it. Nicholson is fucking depraved. Like, depraved. And,
Vera Farmiga is from near my hometown in upstate New York. She's from Ulster County.
There's something in the water because she is, like, the performance of the movie. And you, sir, look at that beard. Look at that beard.
Get the fuck out of here.
I am out of here.
We're on over the fucking screen.
I you know what, though? I want to say this because I want to have it on record. That Dropkick Murphys song.
Yeah.
I don't like it. I've never liked it. It fits the movie, but the lyrics to that song are garbage, and the voice that he uses to sing them sounds terrible. The riff, phenomenal. I love the riff. But after the riff ends, the rest of that song is like, I hate it. It's cringeworthy. It's like I don't like it. Yeah, it's the worst. But, you know, some would argue that's the point.
I will play it every 17th of March. Yeah.
And, of course, and it's the theme. And when it pops up in this movie, it works. But every time the guy starts singing, I'm like, eh, you should have cut that part out.
Yeah.
I'm no Thelma Schoonmaker. But my editing is to get rid of that guy's voice.
I would have said Scorsese later.
I also probably would have been like, Scorsese, do you really need to use Gimme Shelter in this movie as well?
Scorsese later. There it is.
There you go. And then he would say, yes, I do need to use Gimme Shelter in this movie. And I go, but you used it already a couple times. And he's like, well, I have to. And then he puts it in twice, and he's right. Oh, he's so good. I'm an idiot. He's the master.
Wait, so who does, like, get final call on song choices, do you think?
When you're Scorsese, I think it's you.
But, like, in general, I guess it probably changes from project to project.
Yeah, like, if I'm making my own movie, it comes down to what I can afford and what rights I can get. But, like, if I'm making, like, you know, just, like, a slasher for a studio, the studio is probably like, hey, there's a record we're trying to sell. Work this song into it, you know? Yeah. It's a little
bit. Bring Ludacris in on the track.
Like, in the remake of The Fog, I'm pretty sure the, go with dad, dad, is, like, worked into the music of the movie. And it's like, why? And it's like, oh, because it's coming out at the same time and the same label owns both of these things, you know? It's weird.
And that's when people are like, what was that awesome song in The Fog? And then also from Universal Records, Fall Out Boy.
It's perfect. Yeah. That's what they used to do back in the day.
What is that called?
Brand synchronicity.
Upward revenue streams. Synergy.
Synergy. The, yeah. The Scream soundtracks, Scream 3 at least, I had. It was all nu metal and Creed.
Fast and Furious every year.
Every year.
There's a track.
Blocka, 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 blocka. You make gun noises. Look at burnt. All right. What else? What else you been watching? See anything good?
I recently watched Chinatown for the first time.
What'd you think?
It was fine. You know what? When I wrote down the things I've been watching recently, I wrote down Chinatown and realized I don't remember a goddamn thing about that movie.
It's sleepy like that.
It is.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things that people like about it though, because like, it's one of the things I like about it because, you know, it's doing like a more modern noir. And one of my favorite aspects of like old noir movies is a lot of times they're confusing and they don't make sense. And it's typically about a detective who's like, I'm going to solve this mystery. And then the world is like, oh, that little mystery, it's so much bigger and it's too big for you to understand. And then he's like, I don't understand it. And he gets out of it, you know, like, yeah. And that is what Chinatown kind of is, even down to the end where he's like, this is crazy. That's his sister. And they're doing the water and they're like, it's Chinatown, Jake. Go to work. Go to bed. Get out of here.
Because if you're telling me that I'm being hunted after, well, I'm going to hunt you back.
Ah, wouldn't you like to wear my ass for me?
Yeah. It was good, I guess. It was fine.
It's an acquired taste, but yeah. I'm glad you watched it. I'm glad you enjoyed it.
I also rewatched, because I had seen it like in too many memes and clips on TikTok and Instagram, but I rewatched The Big Lebowski, which is just a fucking treat every time.
It's the best.
It's so good. The whole fucking, and I'm putting this in air quotes, Chinaman speech, that whole dialogue where they're like, actually, dude, Chinaman is not the preferred nomenclature. Asian American, please. And then Donnie in the background keeps saying the word, and it's just like that whole like back and forth. I think like the Coen brothers definitely contributed to the whole like mumblecore trend. Like
Between mumblecore and like David Mamet, Aaron Sorkin stuff, like, because they can do talky but it's sing-songy and fun.
It's like so fun to watch these actors just play in this space.
And have you seen like the Hudsucker Proxy?
This is like some of the like most legendary comedy work in one movie that I can even think of. Yes, I've seen the Hudsucker Proxy a few times.
That's got that good dialogue.
Yeah.
And I think you're right that, like, even down to, like, Philip Seymour Hoffman and Julianne Moore, they both give, like,
Tara Reid shows up.
And also another very weird performance. Like, everyone gives a very weird, unique performance. It always blows my mind when everybody on set gets the joke. And it's like, how tight does that gotta run for everybody to get the Big Lebowski? Like, it took society, like, an additional 5-6 years to get Big Lebowski, but everybody in that movie got it.
Yeah.
You know, like, the first time I saw Big Lebowski, I was like, oh, that was pretty fun. And then the second time I watched it, I was like, oh, okay, it's, like, the best movie ever is what this is.
Even fucking, it grew on me. Who's the narrator, the cowboy?
Sam Elliott?
Sam Elliott, yeah. Even he is
Can Chili.
He comes in at the beginning to narrate for like just like two or three sentences, and then he shows up in the middle of the movie and like drops a moment of clarity. And the Big Lebowski just says, like, kind of like swats him away.
Yeah, I like how you call him the Big Lebowski.
I don't know. What's his name?
The dude.
Yeah. I was like, it's not Jeffrey Lebowski.
The dude, man.
I'm the dude.
Did you see that clip going around of the Actors Roundtable with Jeff Bridges? No. And they get to talking about video game adaptations because what's his name? The star of everything in The Last of Us.
Pedro Pascal.
He gets talking about video games, and all the actors are like, oh, yeah, you know, I got really addicted to this video game, blah, blah, blah. And then Jeff Bridges just goes, oh, yeah, I got sucked into a video game once. And they're like, oh, yeah, which one? And he goes, Tron.
That's great.
And what's funny is, like, everybody kind of, like, moves forward with the conversation because he says it so straight and matter of fact. It's so, I'll send you the video. It's so good. His delivery is, it's so dry. But yeah, and then ever since the Big Lebowski, he's just become the dude in real life. He's just.
Dude, yeah, he really has. Even like.
He's just embraced that thing.
Or, like, in his old age, he's just now like the washed up cowboy.
Yeah. He got his Oscar. He's got a legendary thing. I'm a certified preacher in the Church of the Dude. You can just sign up for free. I've got two novelty religions under my belt: Dudism and the Satanic Temple.
Yeah, how do those work? Is there?
I'm pretty sure that one of the tenets. No, because the top tenet of both religions is basically just kind of like doing whatever and being chill and just be cool, man. Like, it's just leave me alone. Like, that's really what it is. Like, leave me alone. I'll help you out if you need me. Leave me alone.
So Big Lebowski was pretty good.
I want to tell you about a movie that I watched on Sunday night. I was gonna watch Casino because I recently rewatched Goodfellas.
Casino.
And I'm currently listening to Wise Guy, the book that Goodfellas is based on. So I'm like on a kick, which is why I watched The Departed. And I was gonna watch Casino. I didn't have time because that movie's 3 hours long. So instead I watched like an 80-minute trash picture from the 90s called Hard to Die. Now, Hard to Die is from the Bodacious Babes era of cinema, because what Hard to Die is it's actually Slumber Party Massacre 3. It has some of the same actresses from Slumber Party Massacre 2. They play same characters, they play different characters. It's the strangest sort of sequel, but because it's not really at a slumber party, and it takes place in a high-rise tower, they called it Hard to Die. You can imagine their reasoning behind taking a high-rise tower movie and calling it Hard to Die. But it is sort of softcore, like there's plenty of titties in it. Each of the bodacious babes takes a shower, and we see it at some point. But it's also like kind of effective and charming, and the leading women that are in it that have to save the tower from both ghosts and an axe murderer, and also because they took showers, they can't put their clothes back on because they're wet, but because they're there doing inventory for a lingerie store, there's plenty of lingerie to wear.
Of course.
So by the end, when they're all in lingerie shooting machine guns, you know, it's pure madness. It's absolute trash, but it has so much charm to it, and it's just oddly effective. It made me nostalgic for an era that I didn't think of. But it's like, yeah, there was the same era where the ladies needed to see some buns in their movie, so every dude showed his buns. That was also the era of the bodacious babes, where every dude wanted to see girls with big boobs on the beach shooting machine guns in lingerie. It was the bodacious babes era. But the whole time I was watching it, the reason I bring it up is because A, I had a great time watching it, and B, the whole time I was like, this feels like a movie that Frank Reynolds wrote and directed.
Yeah.
It's just a purely Frank Reynolds movie.
Agreed.
And it just comes up with the thinnest excuses to give me bodacious babes running from and shooting machine guns at a serial killer. And it was a blast. It was awesome.
So there was a place where I grew up called Bodacious Bagels. And every time you said Bodacious Babes, I was hoping you would say Bodacious Bagels.
Oh, I could never eat there.
Why?
Because every time I go, I just think of Bodacious Babes and start laughing. Because I'd be like, oh man. Do you guys sell melons? And they'd be like, yeah. I'd be like, well, why don't you whip them out? Bodacious Babes party. It's the 90s. Woo!
Day-bop-bop.
No, this would be that song. Oh,
yeah.
And then we go look around for, dude, this, then we'd say things like, these Bodacious Babes, they had huge, like, bazongas.
Knockers.
call them bazongas. Yeah. And Knockers was more like 70s, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm older than I look.
It's the beard.
Yeah.
All right, you got another one, or?
Well, I've been watching a lot of TV.
What'd you say?
But this has a connection to a movie. Even though I don't remember if I saw this movie, and I definitely didn't see the sequel. But
I also think that TV, just by the sake of being a motion picture, is cinema. I think it counts. We can talk about TV on this.
Ted.
Oh, the sitcom?
On Peacock.
Is it good?
With the bear?
I liked the first movie. I forget if I saw
Seth
the second.
MacFarlane.
I'd watch it. Is the show good?
It is hilarious. Nice. It's like I haven't laughed this hard at a Seth MacFarlane thing since like Family Guy seasons 1 and 2.
Nice.
Like original Family Guy stuff. It is smart. It is well written. The kid actors are really great. All the actors are really great. But the guy who they cast is like young Mark Wahlberg, essentially. He is really funny, and the girl cousin.
Is he Mark Wahlberg the whole time? Is he always like talking like
that? Yeah, he really does. He really does. Nice. But like he puts his own twist on it. It's good. He's really good. It's not like an impression, but it is kind of like a revival for sure.
Yeah. That's better than an impression.
Exactly. Yeah. It's really well done. But it's on Peacock. Check it out. It's funny, man. It is. I laughed a good couple of, and I also rewatched it twice. It's only six episodes,
capacity,
40 minutes or so.
Okay. Oh, I could definitely. I thought it was like a long running, like a series, like a 22-minute thing.
I think they were going to test the waters. I'm sure the bear is pretty expensive too. Actually,
I'll give it a shot.
It's you just watched The Potted, so like this is a really good ease into the accent.
I was getting my hair cut a couple weeks back, and so I had my glasses off while they were cutting my hair, and I'm pretty much blind without my glasses. And the Ted show was on the TV, and I'm not really paying attention to the TV because I can't see what's happening, and I'm mostly just chatting with the stylist. But I'm like catching it sort of adjacently, and I thought that the movie Ted was on, but like the bits that I could hear, I was like, I don't remember any of these bits from Ted. I also, I don't remember if I saw Ted 2, and I was like, maybe it's Ted 2. And then I started, like, thinking, and, like, I figured it was Ted because I could see sort of the shape of the bear in my blurred vision, and I could hear his voice doing the Ted voice, but I never heard Mark Wahlberg, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, what's happening? And then, so I ultimately asked the stylist, I was like, are you watching Ted? Because I can't see without my glasses. And she's like, yeah, it's a great show. And that's how I learned there was a show.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was a show. I thought I like slipped into an adjacent universe for a minute.
They did not do a good job of marketing it.
I didn't know it was going to be a thing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't know until it was like on, I opened a Peacock to put on The Office, my comfort show. And it was like, hey, do you want to watch Ted? And I was kind of high. And I was like, yeah, you know what? I've been seeing some clips on Facebook. I think that's how they marketed. It was very like,
yeah.
Cause like I kept seeing clips on Facebook. I'm like, I'm thinking these are really fucking funny. Let's go see the context. And like, that's a new way of marketing that I feel like hasn't really been like outed yet, is people will just pay. Like I would pay you to put a clip on your Instagram account. Like, this show's fucking hilarious. Blah, blah, blah. It's like, it feels like word of mouth, but it's manufactured word of mouth. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, that's how it is anymore.
Yeah.
But, the thing is, I found out about it by word of mouth, probably from people who found out about it from manufactured word of mouth. Yeah. So like it became a naturally spreading thing because I just was getting a haircut. That's terrifying to think about.
But, yeah,
but I'm happy that it's now a good I'm show because I liked the movie. Yeah, I liked Ted. I really don't remember if I saw Ted 2.
I might go back and watch Ted because I don't remember anything about Ted if I saw it the first time.
I don't remember much. And then I keep seeing the clip going around of Liam Neeson from Ted 2.
Buying tricks, yeah.
Buying tricks, which I don't know if you heard, they're doing a new Naked Gun movie.
And it's
going to star Liam Neeson.
I am in for that.
100%. I've seen a lot of people saying things like, "Oh man, he can't
do it anyway."
Oh yeah.
And now so, let's like, make fun of it.
Honestly, with all the stuff that he does now, you know, in the cop pursuing bad guys genre, but everyone's like, "Oh, he's a terrible choice. He's a serious actor," forgetting that is
why it's a great choice.
Well, that's why Leslie Nielsen worked too. Before Leslie Nielsen did Police Squad or Airplane or anything, he was the Poseidon Adventure. He was a serious actor. We only know him from the second half of his career, maybe even like the back third of his career.
Yeah.
Leslie Nielsen was around a long time before he started doing pratfalls. And,
Liam Neeson also has a giant penis?
Dude, I've heard. I've heard stories.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you gotta. But I mean, he's a big dude. It would not make sense if he had an average dick.
That's true, yeah.
He's a big fucking guy. It would only make sense if he was hanging dong or if he had the tiniest penis ever, because that's the other way that can go.
There's no room for in between.
Nope. Not when you're making Schindler's List.
He's just that intense.
He's such an intense man. I was born and raised here in Chicago, and I will get my daughter back if it's the last fucking thing that I do. All right? Listen up. It'll be great. It'll be great if I could go back to my roots in Detroit, Michigan. You're right, cunt. Listen, nobody needs... Nobody, just say you're from Scotland. No. It's okay.
I remember when I was in Philadelphia being born.
You went full Irish with it. I like that.
Yeah, I know. That's just him playing a leprechaun from Philadelphia.
In the new hit movie.
You know, actually, the voice I was doing was Liam Neeson's penis. Hey. Dude,
that's his next movie. He's a leprechaun that he works at a bar dressed as a leprechaun for one night a year, but then he like witnesses a bank robbery and it like kills his bartender. And so now he's gonna go get the gold back, if you will. Cause Liam Neeson is the leprechaun. Then, honestly, we have to get the Dropkick Murphy song.
Yeah.
And then it's him loading his gun.
And every time
we're going to find out what's at the end of the rainbow.
His shotgun shoots Lucky Charms.
Yeah. That would just be delicious.
That would magically be delicious.
Magically delicious. What else did I want? Oh, I knocked a classic off of my list. I watched Rear Window for the first time ever in my whole life.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Never
I loved
it.
It was like Disturbia, but all old and shit.
I watched a film that I thought was Rear Window, but it was Backdoor Window Entry 5.
Oh, yeah. That's technically Hard to Die For.
And it was a lot of sex in it.
Well, this had a lot of intrigue, not a lot of sex.
It starred Alfred Fitcox.
Yeah. You can do better than that. Come on.
I know.
Derek Diggler. No, Rear Window, it's the classic Hitchcock movie about the guy with the broken leg who just sits all day looking out his window because he's a photographer. He can't go really do anything. But because he's a photographer, he sees things and he finds the story in things. So just watching the neighbors across the street, he pieces together what he believes to be a guy killing his wife. And so now he's investigating from inside his house, looking out the window at all the other apartments around. But it's a giant set of apartments that you watch things happen through the windows. It's just very well done. It's a classic for a reason, and Jimmy Stewart's in it, and so every single word he says sounds like a car horn. And but he's great, and Grace Kelly's in it, and because it's an old movie and she's a woman, they're just so mean to her, but she's just savvy and awesome. It's so good. I loved Rear Window, and I knew I would. It's a classic. Knocked it off the list.
And it's been emulated a lot. Wasn't like Disturbia?
Yeah, Disturbia was based on it. They remade it in the 90s with Christopher Reeve because he was wheelchair bound, so it was a role that he could, you know, perform in his
AF state. I get what you did there. A role. Really insensitive, Dan.
I'm an insensitive guy. What can I say? I mean, he's 6'5". What are you doing riding horses, dude?
Don't get Liam Neeson on a horse.
Jockeys are little, man. But, hey, that it is a shame. That was a terrifying thing that happened. And also, if I may be selfish about it, it robbed us of a lot of great work because Christopher Reeve is, like, a way better actor than – I don't think anyone considers him anything but good, but he's, like, actually great, I think. He's, like, a great actor that just never got a chance to really – like, his old man roles would have been fantastic. But, you know.
Never got a chance to run free, like the horse that put him in the wheelchair.
Can't cage that horse.
No.
They probably put him down, though. They were like.
They definitely killed that horse.
You killed Superman. They
definitely killed that horse afterwards.
What else? What else did you watch? Anything else on your flight and stuff? What'd you write down?
But I'm like, I'm still in the slow-moving part of the show. They're about to do the heist, so I'm kind of psyched for that.
What I like about Andor is it's like each 3-episode arc is like a mini Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
You know, there's like the setup, the boom. Yeah. Once Andy Serkis enters the picture, you're gonna love it. He's so good at it.
I loved what Skellen Skarsgård did.
Oh yeah.
He's doing. He was pretty badass. Pretty badass dude.
He's Baron Harkonnen.
Oh yeah, he is. Yeah, can't wait to see that fucking movie, man. I got tickets to IMAX. I want to send you my screenshot of where my seats are because I wanted to see because they're kind of on the side. Is that going to really affect my?
I don't think. I mean, I always get bummed out when I'm like sort of on the side.
Yeah, and then that's I sit down. Feeling I'm having right now.
And then 5 minutes into the movie, you forget that you're there.
That's what
and you're just. Yeah. It happens even at the worst movies. Like the angle doesn't end up becoming an issue, and because I was sort of like back and to the right, it's like looking almost like down on the screen, but it was, I mean, it fucking slapped me in the face. Dune 2 is awesome. It's like awesome.
I'm probably making mountains out of molehills, but I didn't get the seat that I wanted. Also, I can't believe that.
I'm gonna judge it.
Man, tickets are expensive, huh?
Dude, it's unbelievable. You're spending like $25 just for an IMAX ticket.
$50 for two movie tickets.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
I couldn't believe it.
But you know what? I will say this: it's worth it.
Yeah, I know. I know for a fact it will be at least $25 worth of entertainment a piece.
Oh, dude, you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're totally fine, because you're actually, that's farther back than that looks. You're 3 rows off the back. So okay. You're going to be looking down at the screen.
Yeah, right? She likes to sit closer to the back. It's one of the things I have to fucking compromise. I like being in the middle for me.
Yep. In that, you're at KOP, right?
Yeah.
So that the IMAX screen in King of Prussia is like perfectly stadium seating. You know, so like when you're in the back, It's not bad at all. You're going to be just fine.
Nice.
Yeah, that's actually not a bad seat at all. I mean, heck, even the front row in that theater is not a nightmare.
She would not let me sit in the front row. Were we in the front row for Tron?
No, we were like in the middle for Tron because I'm the same as you, and I take care of that shit. It's very important to me.
Yeah.
I want to talk about another movie that I revisited because I've been going through Larry Fessenden's filmography. Larry Fessenden is a filmmaker that's very special to me. My tattoo is based
at Harvard together.
Ah, there you go. And my tattoo is based on a Larry Fessenden movie, which I rewatched this week, Wendigo. But he makes like sort of eco horror thrillers. So I watched The Last Winter, which is all right. I revisited Habit, which is my favorite vampire movie that he made. I watched this Frankenstein movie, Depraved, and he has a new movie coming out called Blackout that's like his werewolf movie, but there's typically like an eco twinge to it, and he does like, he does melodrama very well. And so I was thinking, after I watched all these movies, that I really wanted to watch something that was an eco horror movie filled with melodrama, which is why I revisited The Happening.
Oh yeah, you sent me a video of that.
The Happening rules, first off. Not because it's good, because I know that Shyamalan, he sort of, like, after the movie got panned, he was like, no, you guys aren't getting it. It's supposed to be like that. It's me paying homage to, like, the 70s, 80s eco-thrillers. The cheesiness is, like, part of it. It's built in. And it was like, I don't know if you're backpedaling or, you know, or if that's true. I don't know if I fully believed him, but whether it's true or not, if you watch The Happening with the idea that it is a throwback trying to like be that way, it does sort of nail it. It makes it no less silly. The characters no less unlikable or illogical. But it's a pretty gnarly movie, what it wants to be. Like, it's very mean-spirited at points. It's often gorgeous. There's a lot of really great horror in it. Sorry, the cat is pissing me off right now. Get down. Get down! You're an eco-horror. And, but it also just, the performances, like, Mark Wahlberg is in it. And it's weird, because you watch something like The Departed, The Padded, and he's great in it. But then you watch something like The Happening, and it's like he's, like, he plays his character as if this is the first time he's ever left his house. Or has been made to speak words out loud.
Yeah.
And Zooey Deschanel plays it the exact same way. And the two of them are just kind of like, looking around, being around, and like just kind of saying something. Everything's like this, and then, what are you doing? What's this? And like, as just horrifying death is happening around him, they're just like, what do you think? It's like the plants? the whole, it's bizarre.
Oh my God.
And, but I was riveted by it, and I'm starting to believe Shyamalan's claims more than I did. And only because everybody's keyed up to such a uniquely bad level, but, you know, he certainly has earned me giving him credit on that, but yeah. I didn't believe him at all before. Now I'm like leaning towards it a little just because of revisiting the Crappening.
Yeah, the clip that you sent me, I was like, is that The Happening? Because it's really fucking bad. And I couldn't believe that it was that bad.
The scene I sent, the scene I sent is one that has memed a lot. And it's the one where the old lady just starts accusing Mark Wahlberg of like, you're going to rob me while I sleep. You're going to murder me. And before he can answer, she already is turning around, walking away. But when she's like, you're going to, it's the weirdest edit. And then she's like, you know, you're going to rob me. And he's just like, no, no. She's like, you're going to kill me in my sleep. No, what are you talking about? I would never kill anyone in their sleep. And it's like, you sound like a guy who's going to kill her in her sleep.
Yeah.
Like, no. And it's like so weird that he plays it that way, but it's supposed to be earnest. I don't understand it, but man, I had a good night watching The Happening.
Maybe I'll check it out at some point.
It's very short. It's like a 90-minute flat movie, I believe. But it goes by fast, and and again, the horror elements are fucked up.
Yeah.
But it's just bizarre. I don't understand it.
I remember when that movie came out, I was working at the movie theater, and man, hearing the chit chat coming out of the movie was so entertaining because everyone was just fucking shitting on it so hard walking out of it. Like, what the fuck was that? That was absolutely the worst movie I've ever seen in my life. I can't believe I made it, the whole thing. That, like, all of it. It was wild to hear.
Well, I think that was, you know, at that point, I guess he had already done Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, Signs, and The Village, right?
Yeah.
So, like, The Village, which people have come around on, I think it's pretty good. The Village was kind of where his popularity started to dip, and everyone thought, like, oh, he's just, like, doing shtick. And so the happening was where every, like, the floodgates open up and like, we can call mass this guy bad abandonment. Now. And so much so that I remember going to the movies and the trailer for Devil, the haunted elevator movie, that
I like Shyamalan, that.
I like that movie too. He didn't direct it. He didn't even write it. I think he came up with the story and he produced it. But there was a point where the trailer for Devil played. And at the end, when it said from producer M. Night Shyamalan, the theater burst into laughter. And the fact that Shyamalan has gone from that level of derision to where he is now, a filmmaker that we all respect and understand what sort of movies he's trying to make, I think speaks to his tremendous power as a filmmaker.
I'd agree. I do want to mention that over the pandemic, I had watched for the first time the Avatar: The Last Airbender animated show.
Okay. I know people love it. I've never...
It's amazing. It's really phenomenal. And if the next pandemic happens, you should definitely watch it.
Okay.
But I was talking to my buddy Rob about, you know, Rob from Hot Property Fandom.
I'm talking to Rob today.
But he told me not to watch the M. Night Shyamalan version.
You gotta.
No, I can't.
No, you gotta.
He said it would have to ruin it.
I've never seen it, but, like, why wouldn't you watch that? It wouldn't ruin anything. People need
apparently
to get over the
idea.
Apparently
it's so bad. Apparently it's so bad that people who like Avatar have, like, shunned it from existence.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I think people fail to understand. I never understood why people get weird about this when they're like, this new version ruined my memories of the old one. It's like, well, that's your fault. Because, like, you know, when people are like, oh, this sequel sucks. It ruins the original. It's like, only if you let it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like I enjoyed the Die Hard sequels and all that, but like, I don't think about them at all when I'm watching Die Hard 1. Die Hard 1 is perfect in a vacuum, you know?
Did you know that they made a sequel to, Warriors of Virtue?
Yes. And apparently it was a sequel in name only.
Yeah.
But like, that's one of those things like, you know, like, of course I would be pissed if I was a big Avatar fan and then I saw that movie and I was like, they fucked it up. But, like, I never understood the idea that it retroactively ruins the other thing. Because it's just like, you know, some people are like, I hope this doesn't happen in this movie. It's like, well, if it does, just, like, ignore this one then. Like, you know, like it's the weirdest thing. How many different canons there are across the Halloween series? To have any sort of preciousness about maintaining canon is ridiculous. If there's a Star Wars movie that I don't like, I could just functionally unexist it. It's all imaginary. It's pretend.
I mean, I wouldn't want to live in a world. I wouldn't want to live in a world where it wasn't canon that Busta Rhymes, you know.
Yeah.
Beat down Michael Myers with words and made him scurry back and do work.
He also beat him down with karate, if you remember correctly.
Yeah, that's true.
He does karate fight Michael Myers. That movie is god awful. But you know what? Like, when people are like, it doesn't ruin Halloween for me. Halloween is still a masterpiece.
Josh Hartnett's in it.
That's Halloween H2O. Because it's H stands for Halloween. The 2-0 is because it's 20 years later. But there's absolutely nothing in the movie that has anything to do with water. So it's just because it was the...
Well, that's why I wanted to go watch it, because I was hoping to watch an Avatar: The Last Waterbender.
Oh, the Way of Water.
Yeah, The Way of Water.
That was just one of those weird naming conventions of the late 90s. It was extreme H20.
Stank-ass bitches, this is your sexy host, Dan Scully, and I'm just here to remind you that you should subscribe to the show, you should follow the show, you should like the show, you should tell your children, your friends, your grandparents, tell them all about the show. I don't even care if your grandparents are dead. Go to the graveyard, kneel in front of their grave, and say, however you get your podcasts in the great beyond, like and subscribe. Head over to @MovieMovieCast. On Twitter, on Instagram. Look up the show wherever you get your pods. Give it a listen. Give it a review. And if you don't like it, maybe don't give it a review. Just move on with your life. That's what I'm dealing with, all right? Just be good. Give us a good review. I mean, you've made it this far into the episode, so obviously there's something that we're doing right. So just, you know, roll with it, dog. Right? Okay? You good? You good? Head movie cast and all the things? I love you. Back to the show.
You look so tired and you really want to play, what's it, Mass Effect?
No. It's not. And I probably won't even play it. I probably won't even play it tonight. I'm probably going to chill.
That's all good. I'm going to chill, too. I'm actually going to finish the movie that I started at the gym today. I started watching Argylle. Remember that?
Dude, is it good?
I'm about a half hour into it. I'm going to finish it up when we get done here. It's all right. I like Matthew Vaughn, generally. I like Kick-Ass.
Yeah.
Layer Cake's brilliant. I liked Layer both Cake of the Kingsman movies. Layer Cake was Daniel Craig's
introduction to the world.
Yep. Actually, the first time I saw him was Munich.
Yeah, but Layer Cake came out before that.
Yeah, Layer Cake's what like put him on the map.
Yeah. And then the map led to Munich.
Yes, and then to London, to the offices of MI6.
Yeah, 007, isn't it?
007. And actually, to relate it
to Matthew
Vaughn.
Make sure to return it in one piece, 007.
The kid who played Kick-Ass is apparently one of the front runners to be the next Bond.
Aaron Taylor Johnston?
Yeah.
Is it Johnson or Johnson? I think it's Johnson.
Aaron Taylor Johnson. Aaron Taylor, Aranya Taylor Johnson and Johnson. So, no, but, so far it's funny. It's very sweet. I love Bryce Dallas Howard. I think she's cute as a button. Yeah. And she's, Sam Rockwell's very funny so far. And I'm like one or two action sequences deep and they're cartoonish, but knowingly cartoonish. The one thing that I thought was really cool so far is there's a fight scene on a train because every movie has to have a fight scene on a train now. And Argylle is the name of the spy novels that what's her name writes.
You just said her name.
Yes, and I'm sorry, I smoked.
Bryce Dallas Howard. You were thinking Chad Stan.
No, I was thinking Aaron Taylor Johnson just because it's a three name. I got all fucked up. She's writing an Argylle novel, and so she imagines what that would look like as she's writing. And then it seems that she's now thrown into an actual spy adventure, and Sam Rockwell is the spy, but she intermittently pictures him as her character, Argylle, Henry Cavill. So this fight scene is cutting between Sam Rockwell doing the stuff, and then from her point of view, Henry Cavill doing the stuff, oftentimes in the same shot, and the editing across it is flawless. Like, it's very smooth, where a punch will connect, and then, you know, she blinks, and now it's Henry Cavill's punch connecting. And the comedy of Henry Cavill being badass, super cool spy, and Sam Rockwell being like, no, spies are actually really more like me, scrappy and unassuming. You know, we're not handsome guys, we're normal. And that going back and forth is really a lot of fun. But I can't speak for the rest of it yet, and it's pretty long, so I imagine it could run out of charm. But I don't know, I like his style of action photography.
How long is it?
It's like 2 hours and 15 minutes. Oh, so I got like an hour 45 left.
50 or 15?
15.
Man, it was 250. I'm like, what are you, Scorsese?
Well, at that point, I was like, well, I'm just going to devote tonight to Casino then if I'm spending that kind of time.
Yeah.
But no, it's so far so good. I even liked the third Kingsman movie well enough, which wasn't great, but
I didn't see that one.
It's got some fun stuff in it.
I like Jaimin Hounsou though.
Yeah, he's the man.
He's a real Jaimin in the rough.
A blood Jaimin in the rough?
But not really though, because that a diamond in the rough means that, you know, he's not in everything, but he is in everything.
He's in everything, yeah. But, I mean, he is a diamond in that nobody can say, give me back my family, the way that he does.
You are not my partner.
Give me back my family. But, yeah, so, watching some Argylle tonight. Should be good. I don't think I watched anything else. I don't have much else to say about the Larry Fessenden movies I watched were all great. I watched a found footage movie called Frogman.
Frogman?
Yeah, I actually have to review it. That comes out. As of the day of this episode dropping 2 days ago, it's a found footage movie about a guy who goes back to his hometown, where there's like, you know, it's like a cryptid town. The way that's like, like, if West you go Virginia. To Seattle, there's Bigfoot stuff everywhere. Point Pleasant, West Virginia, there's Mothman stuff. The Pine Barrens, you can get Jersey Devil stuff, you know, dumb shit like that. There is the Loveland, Ohio Frogman, but then this posits that Frogman is real, and this guy's going back to get footage of the real Frogman. And it's kind of scary. It's very funny. It takes a little bit to get going, like a lot of found footagers do, but it's not very long. But by the time it does, it hits you with a lot of mythology very cleverly.
At the end of this.
Well, it's like it knows how silly the idea of Frogman is, and the movie's not afraid to lean into that a little bit while still keeping it scary. I dug Frogman. That's all I got. Just Dune.
Yeah,
I saw Madam Web.
Madam Web is, man, it's so much fun to watch the internet tear it apart.
It's one of those movies that I don't feel bad tearing apart because, A, it really is that bad, and B, the reason that it's bad is not because a failed artistic vision. It's because this is a product. It is a full-on product at every level. It was just a committee put together a movie, and it's like, it just feels like someone like fed every, you know, superhero movie into the algorithm and was like, poop one out. And the algorithm like glitched out halfway through. It's just, it's so nothing. But,
Can I ask a question? Where did Dakota Johnson come from?
She came from the loins of Don Johnson. And, why can't I think of her name?
So she's a Nepo baby.
Yes, very much so.
That makes a lot of sense. Because
Melanie Griffith.
Melanie Griffith is with fucking
Antonio.
Kurt Russell. Oh.
No. Kurt Russell why can't I think of any of these? Goldie Hawn is.
Goldie Hawn, yeah. Russell. Goldie Hawn.
Who are we talking about now? Oh, yeah. Dakota Johnson. Her mom is, because I know her dad's Don Johnson. That's why I'm blanking out. Let's go to the Wikipedia. And I Dakota do like Johnson, Dakota Johnson.
Dakota Johnson is the worst actor I've ever seen in my entire life.
I was right. It's Melanie Griffith. She's not the worst. She's actually quite good in a lot of things. She just
same
has
one.
Suspiria, Black Mass. She's actually good in the 50 Shades movies, as they're just not good movies. She's a good actress. She just has the weirdest choice of roles.
I'd hate her.
But I also, when you see her in interviews, I truly think she's like the best kind of Nepo baby and that she like does not give a shit about anything.
She was asked, because she's in a Spider-Man movie, what the names of the Spider-Man with Tom Holland movies were.
Oh, that was great.
And she did not know them. And I feel like that just shows that you didn't take the product seriously, so the product is bad.
Why should she know them? That's not this isn't an MCU movie. This is still the Sony universe.
Spider-Man, he's part of the Sony universe.
Yeah, sort of. But here's the thing
it's
that,
still
that and I agree.
In that universe.
What's weird is they work very hard to make sure it doesn't connect to any existing Spider-Man universes just in case.
Or
so much so that it's very clear that it happened in the 90s, and then they changed it to 2003 at the last minute. It's the most bizarre choice, and it's all over the movie. There's no cell phones. She's a first responder in New York
Spider-Man
in 2003.
Spider-Man 2 did not just come out in theaters.
Spider-Man 2 didn't just come out. 9/11 doesn't come up once. There's a part where there's a giant digital, like a very poorly digitally superimposed advertisement for Beyonce's CD that came out in 2003. I forget which one it is. And it's so bad that it's like floating on the screen and wobbling. Yeah. Like they clearly just changed the date after the fact. But I think my favorite thing about Madam Web, it's certainly not the fact that every shot has either a fast zoom in or a fast zoom out. It's that midway through the movie, she steals a taxi cab in New York. And then for the rest of the movie, she's just driving this stolen taxi cab around New York. It never comes up again that it's stolen. No one's looking for it. That's impossible to do. More impossible to do is to then park the taxi cab, go to Peru for a couple weeks, come back to New York, and then resume driving around New York in your stolen taxi cab. That happens in Madam Web.
Wait, isn't she, like, paralyzed, though, at the end?
So this is how Madam Web got paralyzed.
Oh.
Yeah, because the character's paralyzed and blind. And so this is the story of how she gets her powers and then ultimately gets put in a wheelchair. And here's the thing. I actually don't remember how she gets put in the wheelchair or is blinded. It's gone.
Wait, so is there a line that is like, we need a madam for this web. You're Madam Web.
Nope. Nothing makes sense.
Because I saw something on Instagram that was like, that's a real line from the movie.
I mean, maybe. At that point, I was like this is one where I saw it at a press screening. And by the end of the movie, like, the room full of professional critics, we were all just, like, laughing repeatedly at it. It was a comedy. It was very funny.
I remember you invited me to that screening. Do you remember what I said to you in response?
I mean, I know you declined hard, but I don't remember the...
I said, that is not a movie I'm interested in.
I mean, I wish you would have come because we would have had a blast.
I wish I did now.
Yeah, it's, it's because it's like bad in new ways. Oh, yeah. But the, it's like, it's sort of an origin story, but it's like an origin story that we don't need because no one knows who Madam Web is. I had no clue.
I didn't know. And it also, keep asking me.
It didn't register.
People who know that I know about the Marvel Universe and have a limited knowledge of comic books, they're like, who is Madam Web? And I'm like, I've never heard of her until Dakota Johnson was standing in front of a broken piece of glass that kind of looks like a spider web.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That motif is used repeatedly.
Yeah.
If you didn't know that broken glass looks like a spider web, you will by the end of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. The bad guy's whole performance is ADR'd. It's all dubbed in afterwards. It's just terrible. And this is going to sound so bad, and I hate to go out on this note because it's probably awfully sexist, but, like, Sydney Sweeney really is that hot that I find it hard to focus on anything going on if there's a chance to be looking at her instead.
Yeah, she's really attractive.
She's powerfully attractive, and she's like in like little like a nerdy library schoolgirl who's actually super hot look throughout Madam Web. Most of the time when she's on screen, I was just like, damn. And not really paying attention to much else.
They made the movie PG-13 so that people, and released it in February, so that, middle schoolers will go on dates to it, because Sydney Sweeney is like the it girl.
Yeah, she is the it girl.
You know?
What's weird,
so it all makes sense what you're saying. You know, that's all marketing, baby.
It's definitely like it's now I remember the programming.
The date movie of our generation, or at least my generation, because you're an old man, the date movie of my generation was Bring It On.
That's a good movie.
Everybody went on a date to that movie.
I think my generation, like the middle school dates, it was Titanic, but I didn't do the middle school dates. it was Citizen Kane. I took my best girl to see Citizen Kane, and then we got a soda pop at the fountain. One soda pop, two straws.
Have you seen the footage of the Wright brothers in their fancy flight and out of South Carolina?
Well, I do believe
it's my favorite feature.
I'd live long enough to see their invention crashed into the World Trade Center.
Oh my God. But not talked about in the movie that takes place in 2003.
O.J. Simpson. was a...
All right. That's it.
All right.
Yeah, let's stop there.
Let's just, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I don't know what the date movie was for my... Because I wasn't really... I didn't do the dating thing in high school. I was too busy doing karate and
I took a girl to see Hellboy 2, The Golden Army. It didn't work out.
Ooh, I remember I took a girl once. This was in my early 20s. We went to go see a movie, and like we didn't plan what movie to see. We were just going to see a movie, and then we landed on Closer, the fucked up sex drama with like Clive Owen and Julia Roberts.
I can see the poster in my mind's eye.
Yeah, that movie is fucked up and dark and adult. And like me and this, you know, I'm like 20 years old. Me and this girl watching, and we're just both like, this is the weirdest first date movie ever. This is dark. It's not the type of movie that at the end you go, so we're all probably feeling
who's feeling horny
and friendly now. Yeah. Although now as an adult and like a pervert, I would probably watch Closer at the end and be like, well, now I'm all jacked up. Let's do this. Let's go.
Yeah. The last movie that made me worked up was Citizen Kane.
I was Madame Web. Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's that. All right, I think we should wrap it up.
I got nothing else except for Bob's Burgers, but that's not really, I mean, it's fine.
That's another one like The Office and like 30 Rock that I've never seen.
It's okay. It's not a suggestion.
Friend of the show, Scott, loves it, and he sent me a couple clips that were all super funny, but I just, like, I know, like, my sister at her household, it's on all the time, but I just, it just, it missed me.
It
missed me.
It's a good background noise.
Yeah. I'm constantly looping Sunny. Sunny is just like my comfort show. It makes me happy. I put that on in the background, and when I get tired of that, I just put in one of my Friday the 13th Blu-rays and let it play.
Rock, Flag, and Eagle.
All right, man. Well, check out the show at Movie Movie Cast on all of the things. Check out our other show at Hot Property Pod on all of the things. Have fun watching the Oscars, and we'll be back in 2 weeks with Dune Part 2.
Dune.
The sleeper must awaken. To Dune.
It's on my to-do list.
Ah, the prophecy has foretold.
Yeah.
So, all right. That's that. Anything you want to plug?
Nope.
My website's scullyvision.com.
My website is onlyfans.org.
It's an organization. .edu.
It's not org.
Oh, org. Always back to Sunny. Always. Well, and that's been I Like to Movie Movie. We'll see you at the movies.
We'll see you at the movies.
Dude, are you going to get the Dune bucket?
I already have 3 of them.
You actually have 3 Dune buckets?
Well, I went through the first 2 because I fucked them too hard.
Ah, that'll happen.
Yeah.
So I couldn't do it. It was $25.
You got one?
No, I didn't get one. I was like, if it's like $10, I'll grab one. And then they're like, yeah, it's $25. I was like, what if I just want the lid? They're like, it's still $25. I was like, what am I going to do with this? I'm good.
Yeah.
You know, it's neat. It's funny. We could all hump it for a photo. And then it's going to sit on the ground, you know?
All right.
All right, man. Have a good night, brother.
Peace out.
Peace.
Oh, thank you.